Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. It's Wednesday, April 3rd, 2017. Everyone, get the hummingbird feeders out. Haven't seen a sighting yet, but I'm sure in the next couple days they'll be returning, because usually that first week in May, for many years, I usually record like around the 3rd or 4th or 5th, my first hummingbird sighting. So we've actually had the nectar out for about 2 weeks now. So it's, I do 3 to 1. Really intense sugar water, so it draws them. But they'll be traveling through. I'm sure by Friday there'll be some reports. So you wanted to talk all about Jesus, and so I don't want to get too much off of that topic, but let me announce a couple other things, and then we'll talk about Jesus. But this Saturday, a few days away, the Singing Men of GNN will be at the Forest Preserve Park in Monticello, Illinois. Free concert, 6 p.m., I think it's going to be a pretty nice day on Saturday, so hopefully all this rain will be behind us, or there won't be many more showers. But if it rains today or Thursday or Friday, that's okay, because we want to clear on Saturday. But we'll be under the open pavilion, so light rain or shine, I'm sure we're going to sing. If it downpours, that could put a hamper on things, but it'll be a great concert beginning at 6 p.m. Singing Men of GNN, full concert lineup. We've been practicing really hard. And the Forest Preserve Park is located 1411 North Market Street. So those of you coming from the greater Champaign-Urbana area or from the east, that's that first exit into Monticello. You go by that railroad museum and around the bend, and I don't know, a quarter mile down or so, you'll come right to Market Street and the Forest Preserve Park. So hope to see you 6 p.m. this coming Saturday. And let's see, what was my, I had a little post-it note that had my, that one was the hummingbird thing I needed.
It's on
to
the
make.
Bottom of your little poster there. Is it, it? No, it's right there.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah, it's stuck on the bottom there.
That's right.
Why you couldn't read the address.
Let's see, what else I have? Singing Men, hummingbird feeders. Oh, Filippo's. Filippo's has given us, I want to do a little shout out for Filippo's in Monticello. Now, we appreciate our Filippo's in Mahomet. I'm addicted to their Mastacholi meatballs.
Well, it's the same family.
Yeah, same family, but they have a sweeter mixture of the sauce in the Mahomet location. I've really evaluated both of them. The son-in-law and the daughter, Bridgie and Jerry, I think they have their own little recipe, because it's a little sweeter. I love it. It's like tomato sauce or that mixture, whether it's on the pizza or the red sauce that they have with the Mastacholi and such. You can, like, spoon it in. Oh, it tastes so good. And I'm not a big tomato guy, but they have
You're
to have
drooling.
A lot of... I'm going to have to go out and eat some tonight.
Oh, my gosh.
have me a towel. But it has to have a lot of sugar because for me to like it that much. But, yeah, you can see I'm kind of getting energized.
You're getting,
like,
real, you're getting red like a tomato.
But the Filippo's in Monticello is going to allow all the singing men, they're going to help feed us and, like, half off. So we appreciate them for doing that. They're discounting all their pizzas for us that night. And we'll be putting on a good concert, 6 p.m., so come on out, everyone. Appreciate Filippo's. And then how Roger Weisgarver's worked with four or five different Monticello churches to underwrite and sponsor this event to bring the singing men in. So it's a community-wide event being put on and hosted by the area churches, and we'll have a full concert to the glory of God. So come
Very
on
nice.
Out this Saturday. Yeah, other than that, let's say conversational English class going well, singing men are going well. The Great News Radio Theater Troupe put on a special kind of an Easter skit a week ago at a retirement home, so they're continuing to move forward on a number of things. Seems like there's something else going on. We've sold a number of Mary Ann's books. I think we sold 5 after Monday's program and a few more yesterday. So those are always available here at the Great News Radio Center. And I don't know, a lot of things happening. Like, you can see the paperwork building up here. So all good. But all good because we serve a Lord that's good, Jesus Christ.
Well, bring it back around. Bring it back around. You can do it.
Yeah.
You can do it.
Thank you, God, for the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's for certain, right?
Yeah.
He is good. His mercies endure.
Forever.
Forever.
Every day they are new.
Yeah. If you are in our house, you are reminded of that daily. You are reminded of that daily at about 5:45 in the morning or 6:15-ish. Because at 5:45 or 6:15-ish in the morning, this is what you get to hear.
Good morning, Dad. Just for today, I am a giant. Show me your way.
What? That early?
That early. Oh, that's how the day begins, as he crawls up into our bed singing that and starts, I guess you want to say, glorifying the Lord and testing his parents.
But goes hand in hand.
It goes hand in hand, but you have to love the heart behind it. But it reminded me this morning, I recorded it because I thought, you know what, this is a gift, and why am I getting so frustrated by it? I mean, he's waking up with the right attitude, and I'm waking up with the wrong attitude. My attitude is like, get out of here. We're still sleeping. And he's like, no way. Get up. Like, this. Today is the day the Lord has made.
Well, don't they call the alarm clock in your home the opportunity clock?
Yeah. I guess. I don't know.
Hey, you know, I didn't get around to this, and I don't know if it was posted on your website, but I had told a couple guys after your Sunday message, I have to get that clip of you impersonating Louis Armstrong singing.
Oh, yeah.
It was good. In fact, somebody else said that was
outstanding. It was not. Somebody sent me a message Sunday afternoon, and I had loaded it in already. And somebody sent it to me, and they said, great job, especially the Louis Armstrong. And so I said, huh. You know, because it was like a kind of...
spontaneous.
It was pretty spontaneous. Yeah.
He broke out with a Louis Armstrong impersonation.
So I went and I scrubbed the recording over to that point, and I listened to it. And my wife leans over and she goes, "That is awesome, isn't it?" I go, "No, it's not. It is crazy. Like, what was I thinking?" She goes, "You weren't."
Yeah, it was pretty good. We were entertained. You went out. You gave about 2 minutes worth.
You know what? I got excited, and then I think in the recording you can hear I'm snapping my finger. Yeah. Like, I'm excited. I love that song.
Yeah.
And I just love that kind of, you know, I don't know when that was, if that was like 30s, 40s, but I love that Louis Armstrong kind of jazzy and the horn and...
I don't know. I might have to lift it off your website. So it's accessible.
I don't know. We've not put it up.
I thought you scrubbed it off.
No, we don't have it anywhere. We lost the recording.
Is it a YouTube? How do you place it?
You know,
your
you're
messages?
Asking a lot of questions.
I'll have to rediscover
that.
Yeah,
I'm sure after this recording you'll have some conspirators who will call you and help you figure that out.
Yeah, we'll lift that out. Future, you know, our favorite moments.
Excellent.
Yes.
Yeah, the 10-year broadcast.
But Jesus had some excellent moments.
Well, I haven't been thinking about. Well, I mean, I haven't been my reading this week. Been in the Psalms, and I was in Psalm 18, and I was just loving Psalm 18. Hmm. If you've read it, Mark, the beginning of it says, "I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies." And I just thought, what an amazing beginning to the psalm. In fact, Psalm 18 is one of these long psalms. It's one of these longer ones. It is 50 verses. But the beginning of this verse, you just have this amazing moment where David says, "I love you, O Lord." And it was as if David in this moment decided. He said, you know what, I'm going to dedicate myself to loving the Lord. And I think that's, you know, when we read that passage of Scripture that says, you know, today is the day the Lord is made, I will rejoice and be glad. And that verse says, I will. Which means I have to make a decision. I have to decide that I will rejoice and be glad in it. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. There's enough trouble today. So that means today has a lot of trouble in it. So I have to constantly and consciously make a choice to be glad, to rejoice in this day. And David does that here. He says, I love you, O Lord. He made a choice. And if we know when this was written in a very tumultuous time in David's life. And so David is making a choice. He's saying, I am going to love the Lord no matter what. And then he gives us seven reasons why. I mean, right out the bat, he gives us seven reasons. So if you were in our Exodus study this past weekend at church, you know that the number seven is the number of completion. And so when in the Hebrew, which has no punctuation, you see the numbers, you see words or that in groupings of seven,
Or like a pattern.
Like a pattern of seven. It's significant of something. And so what David is saying here is God is completely and perfectly all these things. He's completely and perfectly my Lord. I completely and perfectly love him. Why? Because he is my strength and my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my shield, my horn, and my stronghold. He is all of these things. And then he goes into Psalm 18 to kind of tell us different occurrences. It's almost as if the first three verses are the table of contents for the rest of the psalm. So it's like he says, you know, he's my strength. Well, I'm going to tell you a little bit how he's my strength. He's my rock. I'm going to tell you a little bit why he's my rock. I'm going to tell you why he's my fortress, why he is all of these things. But it begins with David making the conscious choice to say, I love you, Lord. And, you know, I jokingly, you know, played that clip of my son in the beginning, but I really do think that when my son wakes up, he is making a conscious choice to say, I love you, Lord. Mm-hmm. This is your day. Show me your way. And it you know, hey, sometimes the Lord uses the foolish things or the weak things to confound the wise. And I'm just going to tell you, when I was sitting this morning and I was listening to my son sing it, my first like inclination was to be frustrated because it was 5:45 in the morning and I didn't go to bed until late because I was doing some work. He shamed me. He really shamed me because my first inclination was not, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, that I love you, Lord. My first thing was, I need to get some sleep here. Like, I do not need to be up at 5:45. And my son, who's three, shamed me by saying, Dad, I need to remind you that today is the day the Lord made, that you're his child and he wants to show you his ways.
Well, how many times does Jesus teach us to have that childlike faith, that mm-hmm. innocence and that dependence and
sure.
that love? And I was thinking of yesterday's message by Dr. David Jeremiah, who's going through the Lord's Prayer. And he said, you know, in that first line, hallowed be your name, mm-hmm. you know, that worshiping the Lord, entering into prayer with worship, not my laundry list of things that I need, but to begin with, our Father who art in heaven,
right.
hallow it. And so it's kind of like David also hallowing his name, but loving him,
sure.
worshiping him, that total respect and love and admiration.
Well, and what's interesting is that this actually appears over in, I believe it's 1 or 2 Samuel in chapter 22. This almost verbatim is over there also. And so this is like a song. Here it's put into the Psalms as something that would be sung. So David, when he transposes these words over into the Psalms, he wants to preserve this moment. He wants to preserve this moment. And I love that it's because his preservation of this moment is built around what he believes about God, what he knows about God, and what he desires to tell us about God. And by the way, it's not just what David knows about God. It's what David has experienced about God, because that's what Psalm 18 fleshes out. Psalm 18 in the first three verses tells us what David knows about God. But then from there, it tells us everything he experienced. And sometimes for me, some of the best sermon moments are a good, healthy measure of this is the Word of God and what we know about it, and here is the way it is experienced mm-hmm. in the lives of God's people. You know, and so it helps people to understand what it looks like to walk God's word out in and amongst the community of faith. And so that's what David is doing here, because this is something he's saying to a community. This is something he's saying as they're seeing it probably in temple worship and that. David's saying, these are all the things that the Lord is. And I think that people, too, would have known David's life. So they would have been like, yeah, but you know what? Like, your son wanted to kill you. You know, like Absalom wanted to kill you. Yeah, I know, but the Lord is still good. Yeah, but Saul wanted to kill you. Yeah, I know, but the Lord is still good. You know, I mean, there's all these, you know, and how many times did David face death? And David, I mean, because that's what the next verses say. The cords of death encompass me. The torrents of destruction assail me. The cords of Sheol entangle me. Sheol, that's the Hebrew word for hell. So he's saying that this was a hell of a time I was having here. The snares of death confront me. But what does he say? In my distress, I called out on the Lord. Who is the Lord? He's my strength. He's my rock. He's my fortress, my deliverer. He's my shield, my horn, and he is my stronghold. I cried for help from his temple, and he heard my mm-hmm. voice. And you have to love this when it says, from his temple. Because a lot of people read this, and they say, from the temple. But it doesn't say in the text, from the temple. It says, from his temple. And so what that is saying is from the holiest place where God exists within himself, God hears your cries. Mm-hmm. And this is just like the Exodus, isn't it? Where God heard the cries of his people. He knew their affliction. He saw their distress. I mean, God is present. He's not absent. And for so much of our Christian life, we spend waving our fist at God because we feel as though somehow he's absent in our suffering. And he is present, friends, because if he wasn't there, it would be so much worse. It would be so. All the places that we think is hell on earth is nothing compared to hell as a literal place where people apart from God will spend eternity. And so David says, I cried to God, and from the holiest place in which he exists within himself, the most holy and set apart place, he heard me. It reached his ears. There was nothing that could impede my cry to God. It reminded me of, I shared with our men's group on Saturday morning, a quote from Charles Spurgeon. And he says, from all sides the hellhounds barked furiously. A cordon of devils hemmed in the hunted man of God. Every way closed up. Satan knows how to blockade our coasts with the iron warships of sorrow. But blessed be God, the port of all prayer is still open and grace can run the blockade. What a great kind of picture of Satan and all of our enemies trying to blockade us and elicit fear within us. And God says, but the port of prayer and grace is open. It can run the blockade and free you from whatever it is that seeks to encircle and encamp you, which means that we can pray to God. I mean, that's what you were saying from the message earlier in the week, is that the power of prayer, the power that we can actually talk to God and that he wants to hear from his most holy of places. Mm-hmm. It's as if God is in the... It's kind of funny. You know, when I was growing up, my dad would go in the garage. That was like his hideout. You know, and he'd go in there and he'd rattle tools and work. And, you know, when he was in the garage, you knew it was because he didn't want to be in the house. Mm-hmm. You know, and the equivalent, I guess, now today is kind of like the man cave, where the guy kind of disappears into the man cave and you can't find him and he doesn't hear, you know. My mom could yell all day long, like, Mike, Mike. And he would be in the garage and then he'd be like, oh, I didn't hear you. I was in the garage. And I was in the garage one time with him and I could hear her. And I was just looking at him. He was just looking down, messing with the tools. I knew he was trying not to hear her. So, you know, it's almost like, and this is a really poor analogy, but it's almost like God is in the man cave, his place, the most holy of places, his temple, and yet he still hears our cries. He's not engrossed in himself. He's not watching the game. He's not kind of trying to get away. He hears our cries.
Well, I like the end of verse 6 here, into his ears. So yeah. It's not just a sound or something like he faintly hears something. It's going right there. He's paying attention.
Yeah, it's amazing. It says, and the earth reeled and rocked. The foundations of the mountains trembled and quaked because he was angry. Why was he angry? Because his chosen, his anointed, those that he called and that he saved are being persecuted. Those who say, I love you, Lord. And why are they being persecuted by? Sin. Either their own sin. Sometimes David suffered at the hands of his own sin, and sometimes David suffered at the hands of other people's sin, the sin of Absalom, the sin of Saul. And so sin is the root of all of it, and that's why when it says the Lord was angry, you know, some people say, wait a second, how can the Lord be angry? You know, God is love. You know, God is love, but the strength in which he loves is also the strength in which he hates sin. And so in the same kind of strength in which he sent his only begotten son is also the strength in which he hates sin. And so here he is angry, and he's angry at the sin of men who seek to kind of stand up against his righteous and anointed one, David, here.
And he's angry probably about the ravages of sin that take over our lives, mm-hmm. that have us living less than what he'd want for us.
Yeah, and verse 13 is pretty magnificent. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the Most High uttered his voice, hailstones of coal and fire. I read this one the other night to my kids. I said, have you ever felt like I did this? They're like, what do you mean, Dad? I'm so angry that hailstones of fire and coal came from my mouth. They go, oh, yeah, Dad, we've seen that. And he sent out his arrows and scattered them. He flashed forth lightning and routed them. Then the channels of the sea were seen, and the foundations of the world were laid bare. And at your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils. This is like one word from the Lord. And so just bear with me for a minute. This is one word from the Lord, And we hold in our hands right here 778,000 words from the Lord, his revealed word that's been given to us, inspired and inerrant, which have the same exact power. That's why sometimes when we read it, we weep. And sometimes when we read it, our sin is laid bare and we repent. And sometimes we are just broken by hearing his word, because at one blast of his breath, at his revealed word, all of these things happen. Coal and fire rains down, the arrows shoot out, and men and women's lives are changed. We're running out of time, but I just want to say one last thing, and that's verse 19. If you have your Bible in your hand right now, it says this: he brought me out into a broad place, so a clear place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. And for some of us as Christians, we never get to that place where we realize that the Lord delights in us, that he really loves us. That when David says, "I love you, Lord," that was after already feeling the love of the Lord. I mean, the only reason we can love is because he first loved us. The only reason we can delight in him is because he first delighted in us.
And that's with David acknowledging he had sinned, he had fallen short, he had missed the mark, but he still sensed that love. And that's the same love that you communicate with the gospel message as you preach and as you teach. That no matter where you're at, listening friend, no matter how many times you failed or fallen short, as you call on the name of the Lord, he will be there to love on you.
Yeah, just think of how many things that happen to you during the day would be drastically changed if you would just remember that the Lord delights in you. All the moments you feel shame or condemnation, or you feel guilt, or you feel all the things you feel, the Lord delights in me. He loves me. He wants nothing more than to have me near to him, that I might call him Abba, Father. That nearness and closeness of the Lord, that for those of us who aren't in David's position, but now as Christians, that we've been brought close by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so maybe if there's somebody listening today who doesn't know who Jesus is, maybe somebody who's listening and in that earshot who's thinking, well, what does this mean? What is one breath from the Lord? What is this word you're talking about? What is this delight? Because I need that. Friends, we would love for you to call 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. And there are trained counselors who are ready to talk to you and walk you through the gospel message, tell you more about this God who delights in you, who delights in you so much that he sent his son Jesus Christ to die on your behalf, that you might have life and life thereafter.
He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Psalm 18. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.